Leadership Platform. This is the SMB Leadership Feature. The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Hi, Dave from A1 Builders in Pretoria.
Yeah.
It's Dan. I found your number on the internet and I need you to build me a room, the purpose of which I cannot disclose.
What?
Fine. It's a sunroom. Can you start immediately?
It's 4 a.m.
I'm sure it's 4 a.m. somewhere, Dave, but here in SA, it's 10.
You mean USA?
There's more than one Pretoria out there. For the quickest and most efficient way to find what you're looking for, start your search with yellowpages.co.za or download the app. Yellow Pages, for local, reliable results.
It's great to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and this is the SMB Leadership Conversation. With me, Richard Angus, as always. Hi, Richard.
How's it, Adrian? How are you doing?
Very good, very good. We have an interesting guest on the line from Cape Town that we'll be engaging in a moment. Before we do that, though, someone that we also had as a guest a while back, Thamir Murat. He's from Cape Town and will be inspiring you as a business owner in a moment. Last week, we listened to Lyle Turner. This is a man who is an entrepreneur. He's only 26. He runs his own businesses, but also an adventurer. And it's a man who climbed, or wanted to climb or summit Everest, but he was there when that earthquake happened, and his dream ended up in a saving lives type activity. So that's a fascinating podcast. Go to download that and listen to it. It will inspire you as a business owner to do more than just run your business. You know, go through life as an adventure. See it as an adventure. So, Thamir, welcome to Leadership Platform again. We're just happy to have you back. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Andre. Sorry, Adrian. Thanks for having me, Adrian.
No problem. It's great to have you. Yeah, we're going to give you the floor for a minute or three or five just to share an inspirational thought before we go to our main guest.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. I remember you called me, you told me I should do this last week, and I wasn't actually feeling up for it. It's motivation is it's like Zig Ziglar said, motivation is like bathing. You've got to do it all the time to stay up. One of the things that I've learned now as a small business owner is that sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, most of the times you're upside down. And last week I was definitely upside down. I had to literally get up on the mountain.
And we lost him.
Why I didn't actually take the call last week, because I myself wasn't feeling motivated. So as a business owner, you've got to know that sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. Most of the time, you're just going to be around about there. All you got to do is keep pushing at it, and obviously just get up and keep going. That's all you can do as a business owner. The decision you made to be an entrepreneur, it's part and parcel, part of the package.
Samir, I mean, I think it took courage. Of course, I didn't know detail, and maybe you didn't, but a little piece of what you said now cut out. Let me just summarize briefly. As you said, you were going to share an inspirational thought with us last week, or the week before, I can't remember, and you felt upside down, and in that, you decided not to share something with us. I think that took courage. You realized, I'm not in the right frame of mind. I respect that. I'm glad you brought it into this conversation, and you're saying, that's life. Life is upside down. It's down. It's up, and you as a, I've heard of leaders who stay at home, and they work from home when they really feel upside down, because they realize their mood, everything they say and do, will impact that entire business.
Adrian, I'm glad you mentioned that. Now, if I could tweet you a pic of where I am, I'm in my bed under my duvet with my laptop, two laptops open in front of me, and on the phone. I haven't had a chance to actually get out of bed yet. When I woke up this morning at 8 o'clock, my phone started to ring. Now, a lot of people don't understand that you literally don't have that half an hour to get showered, get dressed, and get going. I told myself that at 10 o'clock I'm going to be out of here, but because the emails just kept coming and the phone calls just kept coming, I'm actually sitting in bed doing business from bed this morning. I'll probably only get out of here at 1 o'clock. And that's a lot of people don't know that, also because we're fasting at the moment, so my morale and my drive, I'm not in my usual energy drink, is rather low. Now, myself owning a sales company and going onto my floor with 100 salespeople, you've got to always put you out there as being energetic. And if you can't be that way and you're not feeling that way today, rather stay away from your business and manage it remotely for the day. And that's what I'm doing at the moment.
And that's the power. These days we can do that. Thamir Murat, thank you so much. That's a great message. It's simple, powerful, strong. As leaders, our attitude, our mode that we're in affects our entire business. And sometimes with today's technology, and the marvels of our society, you can actually work from home and not impact your business negatively. We appreciate you sharing that with us, and we look forward to having you back.
Thanks, Adrian. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Keep rolling.
Bye-bye. All right, then we have on the line from Cape Town as well, Bruce Morgan, CEO and founder of a company called Greatsoft CRM, winner of the FNB Business Innovation Award. And there's no better business than FNB to hand out that kind of award. Obviously, they're capitalizing on their brand as the most innovative bank in the world. And, yeah, on the line is Bruce Morgan, who will tell us more about that. What is their business about? And Richard Angus will take it from there. But, Bruce, from my side, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for taking this call.
Congratulations on that. I guess it's a huge honor.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's not just an honor for me, but it's certainly for our team. We've got a team of 60 people. Without those people, this certainly wouldn't be possible. I could never do it on my own.
Are you still in bed under the duvet like Tommy?
No, but I am working from a home office, which I do 3 days out of five, actually, because I find that it's a way to keep focused. I have an MD who runs the day-to-day part of the business, and my role is to provide strategy and future direction, and I get good value when I work out of the home office.
Well, great. Happy to know not all Cape Townians are still under the duvet. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Bruce, welcome. Thanks very much for agreeing to spend some time with us. Bruce, perhaps as a starting point, I mean, as a developer and implementer of cloud-based tech solutions for accounting businesses, your business, Greatsoft CRM, has based its subscription revenue, it has its basis of revenue in your subscription base, and you provide, as I understand it, an integrated product for small and large multi-million accounting firms to actually operate and run their platforms. Give us a little bit of a background in terms of how you identified this value proposition. It's a pretty unique value proposition. Talk to us a little bit about where did the journey start?
Well, thank you, Richard. The journey actually started 28 years ago, so I won't go down that road. But you spoke about the subscription service. We found with people on their mobile phones and electricity, people want to pay as you go. And about 10 years ago, we migrated our business to a subscription model, where people no longer had to pay huge sums of money for the software and an annual maintenance for that software. They just paid a fee per person, actually per use. And that has really been a very good for our business. But that's not the innovative part of our business.
Mm-hmm.
What has been innovative for us is most of the global players in our space, that's the space of accountants, auditors, and consulting engineers, in fact, any time-based professional, these people need to have access to the information from anywhere at any time, on any device, actually, and this is just not possible with most of our competitors even today. 5 years ago, we started on a journey to take people off of the desktop platform where they were quite limited to have access to information or not in an easy fashion like you could with products like the iPad or your mobile device. And we've built Greatsoft CRM 2015, which is allows people from anywhere at any time on any device to access their software or their data in the office.
So it sounds like you've, you know, over those 28 years, and I mean you talk about, you know, the change that came with subscription-based thinking 10 years back and what you've done recently around the platforms. I think the learning for me and what I'm hearing in the conversation, and I'd not only like to focus on, you know, what you've recently achieved in terms of the Business Innovation Awards, but also your holistic journey as entrepreneurs, which is very relevant to the show, is the principle of constant change as a leader. And you know, you talked about your role and working from home 3 days out of five and having an MD running with the day-to-day operations. I think people need to hear that and understand that that's the evolutionary space of an entrepreneur, and that it's not always about being at the coal face and running the day-to-day operations. I think lots of people, when they start their business, they're in love with, let me call it, their business baby, and then they, you know, they feel like they have to be in the office before anybody else and the last to leave, and it's all about them. And in actual fact, what I'm hearing from you indirectly is part of the secret source of your success was actually recognizing when to hand over the reins potentially to others and to focus on the parts where you add strategic value and to allow the day-to-day operations to move to the correct people. And that's probably what's been a catalyst in allowing the changes to happen that you've needed to happen over your 28 years and very successfully moved to, and I want to just also acknowledge that important subscription-based change. I think for any entrepreneurs out there, that change is significant in not only GreatSoft CRM, as you've experienced it, but in many, many businesses today, is that people don't buy things anymore. They want to rent it. They want to pay as they go, as you so rightly coined it. They want to use it. What they use for, they'll pay, and anything else, well, thanks very much, but I'm not paying for it. So that's a great, great insight that you've learned there, Bruce, and that you've shared with everybody. Perhaps, what were some of the other challenges you faced as a startup business, if you can cast your mind back those 28 years, and how did you navigate through those challenges? Perhaps pick two or three that you can kind of say, listeners, hey, watch out for these kind of things, because this is where you'll really feel the challenge and the pinch.
Richard, if I can start off with the financial side, we have focused on the subscription model this morning. We cannot underestimate the impact that moving from a to buy product to a subscription-based product has on your cash flows.
Mm-hmm.
It really does hit your working capital for the first couple of years, so you need to make sure you've got certainly the working capital reserves to keep you going for a period of 2 or 3 years. Otherwise, you're going to run out of cash in month 11 or month 15, and then you have other problems in your business. So that's a major thing. You need to make sure your working capital is really well managed. In the other areas, the areas that we have made mistakes, and if I had to do it again, I certainly would not do this. We built certain products, and we had to decide way back when, 3, 4, 5 years ago, whether to put them all into the cloud, that's browser-based, or to develop some of those for a desktop. Even using the new Microsoft technologies, we're Microsoft Gold partners, so we use Microsoft extensively. And we made a choice to put some of those on the desktop because we thought that's where they were best suited. And 6, 9, 12 months later, when we started to deliver prototypes, we realized that it's not what the market wanted, but we kept banging our head against the door saying this is what it is, and we've got to do this because we've already sunk a year's worth of development cost into this product. So we've now have to unbundle that and move that and migrate that to the cloud.
Yeah.
So a lesson that we learned is when you identify an area that is a possible problem, stop it immediately, have a real good look, and if you've written off a year's worth of R&D, you don't always get all R&D back, and that's why it's R&D.
Yeah, that's
because
why.
It's research and development, and not every research and development operation is going to end up in success.
Yeah, well, I must say I hear you loud and clear. The principle of ask the customer comes to mind. Often I think we think as entrepreneurs we understand our market best and we'll tell the customer what they want. But often that customer, uneducated as they may be on your latest and greatest product, has some very simple ideas and things that they're looking for, access mechanisms, route to market, whatever, channels, whatever it may be. And we think we know and understand what they're going to do, but they ultimately make the choice. So, yeah, that's a great, great insight. Thank you.
Bruce, no, Richard, I think if I can add to that, one of the cornerstones of our business is the value that we can add to our clients' lives. We have a core statement that if we can't save every person in every practice 4 to 8 hours per month on admin time, then we're not doing our job properly. And it's our core mission to try and identify the time wasters. And if you take a simple art thing like recording timesheets, which you may have done in your previous life as a chartered accountant, that hour on a Friday that people used to get back in, or Monday morning, to try and capture their timesheet and then try and remember what they did during the week, we've reduced that time to literally minutes, and they can do it from anywhere on any device at any time. And if the practice is 10 or 50 or 500 staff, that's almost an hour a week just in that one very small task. So our mission is to create value for our clients in the way that we reduce the administrative time to do those admin tasks. And we need to be listening to our clients as to what they're saying is costing them time. So there's many, many examples of that. For example, e-filing of tax returns. SARS makes it very, very good for us to e-file tax returns today. But it's literally done one at a time. You log into the website and you go and do that one at a time. Well, we've now done that globally and released products for your ITR 12s and ITR 14s, that's company and tax returns. And we do that globally. So an accounting practice, instead of taking hours and hours and hours to do that, can simply do that electronically and globally. And it has saved them really a lot of time. And those are the key things that we focus on doing for an accounting practice.
Let me ask you, Bruce, and this is an ignorant question, but if you look at the space you're in and the space a lot of people are in these days, it almost feels like this principle, which is true, that you must listen to the customer and engage the customer and serve as their needs. One gets the impression with some of these, I don't want to say IT products, but these, I don't know what category to put it in. It's almost like you have to tell us what we need. It really feels like a lot of leaders they're ignorant, and they don't know what certain products and services in today's world can offer them, and you have to sell to them. And there's fancy marketing terminology that explains this. You have to tell them that they need it. So, Richard, where does that? That's the impression I have.
We're
in that space.
I think you're spot on. I think, if I just rewind 15 years, there was a whole hoo-ha in the 2000 era about the ASPs, the application service providers, which technically is what we are doing today, put it in the cloud. But 15 years ago, the market wasn't ready for it. And the owners and business entrepreneurs out there weren't ready to move everything into an ASP-type environment. However, about 5 years ago, with a boom of iPads and mobile devices and all those other really easy-to-use devices, we found that those same entrepreneurs are saying, and business owners, gee, I've got access in my hands. It's easy now. So then the change was a lot easier to move the data from being housed in a warehouse at the office or a server room in the office to move in the cloud so the guy can access his data from anywhere at any time. I think it's simultaneously the launch of things like LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, everyone got more comfortable with having data in the cloud as opposed to having data in the closet at the office, has helped change the attitudes. You know, the businessmen out there are not there looking at technology. They're looking at how to make their businesses the most profitable they can.
Yep.
And it's our role to make sure we identify the right technologies, which today, moving things into the cloud with products like GreatSoft Theorem, it really does make their lives a lot easier. They don't have to make those decisions, and it's really been well embraced, and the take-up has been fantastic on it.
I guess as a small business owner, you must know where you fit in. Am I in a category where I have to educate the market, and I'm almost part of the early adopter stage, or am I in a category where I really have to listen to the customer? Perhaps everything comes down to the deep need of the customer, Richard.
Yeah, I think there's a term that was coined called the bleeding edge of technology. And I think it's really important that people within the business context, both as a customer and as a potential provider of services, know where they sit relative to the edge. Because, you know, if you're trying to educate a market on a new technology platform, for example, or a way to engage with a technology platform, that's going to take time and energy, and you're going to spend to
resources.
Do that, resource-based. Whereas if you're in a space where early adoption has taken place and you're able to, let's call it, leverage the wave of growth, you're probably in a better space. And I think, you know, Bruce, you obviously experienced this with, you know, you do a bit of work on the, you know, on, let's call it, PC-based or platform or hard platform-based systems. And as you say, you know, a year later, you kind of look and say, well, I'm a year in. Should I keep pushing this or should I do something different? And I think a lot of companies, particularly in the tech space, had that conundrum of, you know, do we push forward or do we now move? I mean, there were some classic examples of people who turned around and said, this cloud-hosted thing will never work. We're not going to put anything in this. And I mean, there are companies, I mean, I know of some of them by name, who actively made executive decisions at board level to say the cloud will not work. And they divested of interests in the cloud, and look where we are today. So, you know, don't think for a moment that, you know, it's only those that are guessing that are making bad calls. I mean, there are well-informed individuals who've called on things in the market and called it wrong, and that does happen. So, yeah, it's an interesting space to play in.
Richard, I think it's exactly right, and the lessons that you learn along the way, you asked me about one of the lessons I've mentioned a few. But one of the lessons that we learned was we drip-fed some of our products into the market. For example, the easiest one to do was our time recording module, a timesheet module. And it was a very easy one to move into the market. But along the way, we started drip-feeding that into the market about 3 years ago. And in fact, we Learned a lot, paid a lot of school fees along the way because it possibly wasn't ready to come at the time that it came. It wasn't exactly what the client wanted. So you mentioning the technology. We had the technology, but wasn't exactly what the client wanted. And we had to go and redo those things. Yeah. And today the take-up of that is fantastic. But along the way, we did bruise ourselves and bruise some relationships with our clients to make sure we really delivered what they wanted. So it's a combination of delivering what the client wants with the appropriate technology. And I think that's where we have a big part to play with accountants and auditors because we can add value to their lives that they don't have to be these R&D guys trying to find out which technologies are in there. And the trust relationship comes into it. We've got some big firms, Grant Thornton, Nolan's, Mazars, who partner with us in every inch of the way. They even test our new products as they come out. But they help us to build the product around their requirement, which has been fantastic for us.
That's great. Now, Bruce, I mean, talking about the business FNB Business Innovation Awards that you have recently won.
Yeah.
I noticed that there was a comment about you reviewed the course of your business about 5 years back, they said, and you made a very strategic decision that allowed you believe, to be recognized as the Innovation Award winner. Could you share that lesson with us? What was it that you changed? What did you think about? What did you do?
Now, Richard, I think the core change was we came to realize that as South Africans, we can be a major player in the world. And we, at that point in time, were delivering systems to about 20,000 people using our software. We call them the people that use our software every day. We've now doubled that in the last, actually, 3 years. We've doubled that. It's allowed us to go into 19 countries now. So, and we are piloting our software in Cyprus and in Perth, and we're busy moving it to the UK and to Australia. Whereas 5 years ago, we were so focused on delivering a desktop product, which was so staff and human intensive, we could not deliver all enough. We had orders from everywhere. We didn't have enough staff to do that delivery. And then when you put an iPad in my hand or in a five-year-old's hand and he can learn to use the software in no time, that was a game changer for us. We realized we needed to make it available on any device, anywhere, at any time, and we had to make it as simple as possible. So we haven't achieved all those objectives yet. It is available on any device at anywhere, but we are investing huge sums of our R&D budget to simplify the way the learning curve happens in an accounting practice. And I think that change has led us to become not only a South African organization, but certainly a global player. And it's really exciting for us to take on the big boys. We've seen what the big guys are doing in the UK and Australia. And we reckon that in our space, that's the SME space, they're a couple of years behind us still. They've got very entry-level products, which very limited feature sets. But we have multi-company, multi-office, multi-currency systems, which some of those big players don't have. And it's very exciting for us.
So it sounds like the key there was your understanding of the concept of access. Access and adaptability. So, you know, you're giving people access to their information, their platforms, whatever they need, anytime, anywhere. That sounds like that was your key understanding that you flicked through.
That's exactly right. And also to stop looking so inwardly and look outwardly. Mm-hmm. We can be global players in South Africa. You know, often we have a bit of a complex and think, gee, we're from little old South Africa. Yeah. But when I've traveled to the States or Australia or the UK, I realize, gee, we can play a part here. And many South African businessmen can really add value. And what FNB are doing with these innovation awards, are they recognizing those businesses? And the finalists that were at the innovation awards, they all going to go global at some point in time. And that is fantastic for South Africa. And that subtle change has been good for us. We've also been lucky, Richard, that we are relatively small and we are agile. So when a client has said, no, I don't like it this way, I want it that way, we've been able to adapt and deliver on what the client requires.
Bruce, thank you for chatting to us. I think the important things that come out of that conversation for me is, you know, your comments around agility and access and talking to your clients and actually understanding your market and what they're all about. So thanks very much, Bruce. Really appreciate the time that you've taken to be with us. Congratulations once again on winning that inaugural FNB Business Innovation Award for 2015. Well done to you and the team at GreatSoft CRM.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thank you. I think we should commend FNB for that. They're taking their innovative spirit much broader, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. Thank you so much. I mean, that's... I feel a sense of confidence. We can take our businesses into the world, you know, and we've got to realize that. That's what I like about Cliff Central. It's a global platform, and sky's the limit. We must just take it there.
Yeah, I think it's important that we realize that the businesses that we had 5 years ago are just no longer with us. And, you know, we've talked about, and you hear these comments that we've got children in school learning about or learning in an environment where they're going to have jobs that don't even exist today.
Huh.
And I think, you know, in much the same way, and if I listen to Bruce and what him and his team at Great Software CRM have achieved, you know, what they started with 28 years ago, what they had 10 years ago, what they had 5 years ago, those things have all changed. And so the platform changes. It's all about agility and access and knowing what your customer really, really wants.
Exciting, frightening, all of those emotions in one. Well, that was the small media business leadership conversation. Next up, we have an icon. I don't know. I thought of the word just now in my mind, actually, in the studio today. I'm not so sure that he's necessarily always recognized for that. But imagine years ago he started, well, I think Harmony Gold was a small little business until it fell into the hands of a man called Bernard Swanepoel. And they took that business to becoming one of the top gold companies in the world. Amazing run. And then he left them a few years ago. We're wondering what he's doing these days. But we're going to look back, reminisce a bit, and learn from him as a leader who's done amazing things. The blend of corporate CEO and entrepreneur, all of that in one. So next up will be our leadership masterclass. Stay tuned. This conversation was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to grow your business.
Ivan Cleaners, Worcester. Conrad speaking.
Hi, Conrad. This is Chad from the Glen Gables Hotel in Worcester. We're looking for a new cleaning service. I found your number on the internet. Would you be interested?
Yeah, Flip, great. Where are your offices?
Well, on the corner of Alaho and Aldo, across from the Beef Tack and Tack Shack.
Cracking what?
There's more than one Worcester out there. Reach a more relevant audience by advertising with the Yellow Pages. Visit yellowpages.co.za and get listed online with South Africa's most trusted business directory. Yellow Pages. For local, reliable results.
CliffCentral.com.